Welcome to Richardson's Cove Baptist Church. We're glad to have you. Tune in with us and Dr. David Ayers from our Sunday morning worship service as we study God's Word together.
Amen. Good to have all of you with us today. We're still looking at the fruit of the Spirit. This is just message number two, and I'm just going down the line. Isn't it just amazing that the second element to the fruit of the Spirit is joy? Is anybody feeling joy? You feel joy? I don't know. Does everybody feel joy? We're going to talk about it a little bit today. Joy and peace, I think a lot of times they say those are twins. I don't know. There's, as you study the nine different elements or fruit of the Spirit, the nine parts of it, some of those tend to fall into same categories as the other. And so I think joy and peace are those two that kind of go together a lot. But I want to pick up, I don't have the scripture listed up there. I forgot to get it to the guys. Sorry about that. But we're going to be in Luke chapter number 24. Stand with me, if you will, and we're going to look in Luke chapter number 24, beginning in verse number 36, down to the end of the last chapter of the Gospel of Luke. As they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen the Spirit. And he said unto them, "Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, "Have you here any meat?" And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and a honeycomb, and he took it and he did eat before them. And he said unto them, "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you have been endued with power from on high." And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We're reminded by this passage of Scripture. Our hearts are renewed at the thought of where our joy really comes from. It comes from you. If we are to experience any true happiness, any true peace, any love, joy, temperance, any of these gentleness, goodness, any of these elements of the fruit of the Spirit, it is going to be, God, because of our relationship to you. We're going to be in the right place with you. Our prayer today, God, in the midst of troubling times, difficult times within our nation, our prayer, God, is that we'll be able to have joy, that we will truly have joy that comes from you. Forgive me of my sins today, God, and use me as an instrument of yours to just expound on your word, to pull out some truths and some elements about joy that we can understand how important it is, and it will define our relationship to you. I pray your Spirit, God, has his way today in all of our hearts, that you speak to us, convict us, challenge us, encourage us, God, and give us what we need in our relationship to you. We love you, Jesus. Regardless of what we may face today, regardless of what we may face tomorrow, we are thankful and we are joyful because you are God, regardless of whatever else may happen. We love you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Joy is one of those, I think, that is just a little bit tricky, because we say we have joy, we experience joy. So we got to define joy. We've got to understand exactly what joy is. Is it true that anybody and everybody, saved and lost, can experience joy? I don't think so. Not now. I don't believe it's possible. Let me share with you this word joy in Galatians, where it's used as a part of the nine elements of the fruit of the Spirit. Let me give you the definition of what joy really means here. It means gladness. That's what it basically means, for us to have a little better understanding. It means gladness. It means joy received from you, which means a joy is something that you're going to give out. This joy he's talking about as being part of the nine elements of the fruit is something you're going to give to somebody else. You're going to demonstrate towards somebody else. It also is a cause or occasion of joy. So there are going to be events that are going to happen in life. There are going to be those spiritual moments that are going to be able to cause that spiritual joy that comes from the Spirit. Also, of persons who are one's joy. So we're going to have joy because of some of the people that we're around, because of the experiences that we have with other people. We're going to be able to experience joy. Couple of notes that I jotted down here, and a couple of more scriptures before we get into the full text of the message I want to look at today, is that joy is not found in things going well in your life. That doesn't sound accurate, though, does it? Joy is not found when things are going well in your life. You know, we tend to think that the grass is always greener on the other side. You've heard that saying forever. I've heard that a lot of my life. Grass is always greener. And so what we'll do is we will not experience joy, but yet we want to experience joy. So we will do those things to try to enhance joy in our lives. So we'll make decisions that affect our life so that we can experience joy. Joy is not going to be found, I don't believe, biblical joy, spiritual joy, I don't think it's going to be found in things just going well for your life. I know people that in our world today will leave their husband, leave their wife to go to someone else, into someone else's arms, hoping to find joy because they feel as though they don't have joy. Well, what they experience may be something, but it's not true godly joy. And it's only temporal. It's not going to last. We know there is joy in sin for a season, but it's not the same kind of joy that we get from the Spirit of God. So we can experience something similar. There's a carnal copy of joy that the world experiences, but it is not defined as part of the elements of what the Spirit gives us. I'm going to label it, and you can label it whatever you want to. There's a lot of words that would describe it. I'm just going to call it pleasure. Pleasure. I think that's a good carnal term for a copy of what godly joy is. So, because I got to thinking, can someone who is lost experience joy? I don't think so. Not the joy we're talking about. Again, we can label a lot of things joy if we want to. But when we're talking about a true element that the Spirit alone gives. The Spirit gives joy. He gives this gladness. He gives this goodness and this joy inside of your heart when you do for somebody else or when somebody else does for you, this gift that's given from God. A lost person cannot experience this. So I'm going to call it pleasure. And we find that there are parallels between what God has deemed as an element of the fruit of the Spirit and what worldly pleasure would be, or this carnal copy of joy would be. It can be found in achievements. An achievement can happen. You can accomplish something, and you can receive joy from that. I think there's a godly joy to be had from that. But we can also receive a pleasure from that for a natural carnal person. So there's a line there between what we would call a carnal copy of joy, which is pleasure, and true joy that comes from God. The biggest thing about it is where they both come from. We know where true joy comes from, don't we? It comes from God and God alone. And I thank God for that. I'm thankful that He has something called joy that he wants to give me and impart to me in my life. I'm thankful God gives me joy. Aren't you? Otherwise, we'd be very miserable people. I can love somebody and not experience joy. Love's one of the nine elements. I can have peace and not necessarily experience joy. I think joy is it perhaps is the twin to peace, but it is still individual in the fact that it's where we're at with God. Here's what I think about joy. Joy is where we're at with God in whatever circumstance you're in life. That's joy. That's where we're at. That's what joy is all about. Joy is not just winning the ball game or having a birthday and getting a bunch of presents. It's not just the achievements that we've made. A lot of those things can be experienced in life. I think joy is something, obviously, because it's a gift of the Spirit. It goes so much deeper within us. And it's something that's not meant to be temporal or short-lived. But I believe joy is to be the rest of our life. And it can be the rest of our life. You can be joyful. Are we joyful all of our life? Well, I don't know, preacher. Define joy in that instance. Am I always cheerful? Am I always happy? Am I always smiling? Am I always that positive person that's around everybody else? Well, that might be a definition of seeing joy in somebody's life. But I think joy is more of a contentment within us in troubled times, especially. There's a verse of scripture here that says in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. These people were suffering. So when we hurt, we have the ability and opportunity to experience and demonstrate joy. Hebrews 12, 2, this is talking about Jesus, says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus himself experienced joy because his joy came from this. In this instance, Hebrews, Christ's joy came from looking at why he was dying on the cross. I mean, if you look at somebody who's going to suffer on a cross, there's not a lot of joy to be found in dying on a cross. I can't imagine. I've never done it. Don't want to have to do it. But I can imagine there's not a lot of joy to be had in the actual event of dying. But Jesus said because of the joy he saw that was going to be accomplished by his death, he was able to endure the cross. He endured the cross. Why? Because he knew there was going to be people one day that were going to get saved and believe in him. He knew there was going to be a Richardson's Cove Church over here in the middle of Pimpin Center area, and they were going to come in here in the midst of a pandemic and praise him. That's why he had joy, because he knew there was something to be gained from his death. People are going to be able to get saved. Romans 15, 13 says, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. There they are together. You see them a lot in Scripture together. With joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Joy, and here's a statement I put. Joy is a deep awareness of Christ within our lives. It's not pleasure. It's not temporal. It is designed to be as long as you live. Does God want you to love? Absolutely. Love is a part of the element, one element of the fruit of the Spirit. And he wants us to love our entire Christian life. He also wants us to have joy our entire Christian life. So what I want to look at now is I've got some different thoughts that you can kind of gauge yourself on. Because I believe that joy coming from God, being a part of the gift of the Spirit within our lives, we have the capacity to be joyful then, right? If you're saved and the Holy Spirit lives within you, you have the capacity to be joyful. You may not agree with it, but the Word says it. You have the capacity to be joyful. You ever see those people that look miserable? I mean, they could win the lottery and be miserable. Well, now I've got to deal with trying to figure out how to spend all this money. I mean, have you ever seen people like that? You know, you used to say you wouldn't be happy working in a pie factory. Well, I don't like chocolate. I mean, seriously, you got those kind of people that are miserable. And if those kind of people say that they're saved, I got to wonder, if you're saved and the Spirit lives within you, because if you're saved, He does. Spirit never goes on vacation. He never takes days off. Once we get saved, the Spirit moves in that instant. Because He said, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. So when I got saved, the Spirit moved in. He doesn't go away and come back if I do things wrong. No, I am indwelt with the Spirit according to Scripture. And He is the earnest and the down payment. He's the deposit for that day when He comes back and redeems the purchase with the purchase price of possession, which is me. Until that day when I see Him, whether rapture or death, when I see Him, I have the Holy Spirit living within me. So to have Him within me, I have the ability to be joyful. I have the ability to experience all of those elements of the fruit of the Spirit. So if you're here and you're one of those people that is miserable all the time, you may need to check up. You may need to see, am I even saved? It seems as though my whole life, all I do is I'm miserable about everything that goes on in my life. I'm miserable even when things go good. You need to check up and see. Are you sure that you're saved? Are you sure that you belong to the Lord? I'm not going to say that joy is always obvious in a Christian's life. But to never have joy is something you definitely need to look at. So these things that I'm going to talk about today, I want you to look at your life and analyze yourself and say, here's the question we want to answer. Do you see joy in this? That's the question for this message. Do you see joy in this? Do you find joy in this? And the first is this, is salvation. Do you find joy in salvation? Amen. Luke 15, beginning in verse number 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece that I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repents. When somebody gets saved, heaven is abuzz. When somebody becomes a child of God, there's a stirring in heaven. It says it's in the presence of angels. I'm not saying the angels don't care and are not rejoicing over somebody getting saved. What I'll say is this, the angels don't understand salvation. It's a mystery that they've wanted to look into, and they inquire into it because they don't know what it means to be lost and to be saved. They don't know what it is like to be redeemed. They've always been servants of God. So it says in the presence of angels. So who are in the presence of angels? Saints. Saints of God are in heaven. When somebody gets saved, I believe, I'm not sure that God makes everybody in heaven aware of everything that's going on down here, but I will tell you one thing He does make them aware of when somebody gets saved. He told us right there. There's rejoicing in the presence of heaven. So if heaven is abuzz when somebody gets saved, should we not be excited? Should we not be joyful in our salvation? Yeah, but preacher, I got saved a long time ago. I got saved at 7, and I'm an old white-bearded man now. I got saved a long time ago. But you know what? I still find joy in the fact that I'm saved, and I'm sealed, and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not getting there by my goodness. I'm getting there by the blood of Christ, but I'm going there one day. I'm going to be on a new heaven and a new earth. I'm going to experience everything that God has for me to experience. I'm saved, and I find joy in that salvation. When Philip came to the eunuch and talked to him and saw him in a chariot, and he came and talked to him, he was reading out of Isaiah. I believe he was reading out of Isaiah chapter number 53. And so what he ended up doing was talking to him. It said that he picked up immediately where he was at and began to preach unto him Jesus. And I got to flipping through Isaiah from Isaiah 53, and I thought, how beautiful is this? Never done this before, never found this before, but I was enlightened to this week through something I read. You've got Philip going up this eunuch, and you know, a eunuch's not married. A eunuch cannot have children. A eunuch has no family, basically, okay? But you had this eunuch who was there, And so Philip jumped up there and started talking to him about the Lord, and he read in Isaiah 53 about what Christ was coming to do and the sacrifice he was going to make, and he led him to the Lord, and he got saved, and he baptized him later. But if we flip on over, I want to read one verse of Scripture in Isaiah 56, just a couple of chapters over. In verse number 5, notice what it says. It says, "Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Amen. Even to those that have no home, no people, no place to call their own. He's saying when you become a child of God, you become part of the family of God. And I thought that's so beautiful. Salvation, what is so joyful about salvation? There's a lot of things to be joyful about in salvation, but I think one of the great ones is this: you belong. You belong. Everybody belongs. If you get saved, you belong. If you get saved, everybody has the potential to belong, but once you become saved, you belong. You've been added to the family. We may not always see things eye to eye, but what family does? We may not always agree on everything, but what family does? Some may think they're smarter than others, but what family? Every family does. We all have our issues, but when you get saved, you become a part of something beautiful, and you become a part of something eternal. You become a part of the family of God. And I thought, how wonderful if they continued to read the scrolls and got to that passage of Scripture, that eunuch would understand, I'm not just saved now, but I'm a part of a family. I'm part of it. Hey, Philip, you're my brother, Philip. We're brothers now, and I have a family to call my own. So is there joy to be had in salvation? You better know there is. If you're to the point in your life to where you feel as though the joy has left you in regard to salvation, you better check up on that, because we need to be joyful about our salvation. It never needs to get to be something, well, I just took care of that a long time ago. Salvation today for me should be just as fresh and exciting and joyful as the day when I got saved. It should never leave me, the excitement of when I got saved, because we didn't just go and punch a ticket to heaven. Got that done now. On to page 2. What's next? Now, salvation is the basis for everything, so our joy must be had in salvation. Secondly, it needs to be had in a serving. Acts 15:3 says, being brought on their way, he's talking about Paul, being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversation of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Serving God brings joy. They brought great joy to the people they were instructing, they were preaching to, they were teaching, they were leading them to a saving knowledge of Christ. They brought great joy to the people they were preaching to, but they also received great joy from the people when they saw them get saved. I still remember people I've had the opportunity to sit down with and to lead to a saving knowledge of Christ. I remember those events and those experiences, and they're fresh in my mind. Why? Because they caused me great joy. Not because I think I did anything to get them there or I had part in saving them. God forbid. I had nothing to do with that. But there's a joy in knowing that I did something, as small as it was, I did something that helped somebody get closer to Jesus. I served God. I served God in the capacity that he called me that day to serve him in. And I felt joy because of that. Do you feel joy in serving? Do you feel joy in the things that you do for Christ, that God gives you an opportunity to do? I thought about all the experiences, you know, through life that we go through. And when you look in the Bible, people that had opportunity to minister to somebody else, to go to somebody's house and see that they're healed of an ailment that they had, to see Jesus as he walked by and would heal the leper, heal the blind, raise somebody from the dead. I can't imagine the joy that Jesus felt in being able to minister to those people. And now he's given us that ability to experience that same joy through serving. I don't know if Terry's watching us online or not, but she's over there in the hospital with the blood clots in the leg, and she's probably wondering, oh no, what's the preacher going to say about me now? She's not here to defend herself. But I found out she's doing good, by the way. Hopefully Terry gets to come home today or tomorrow. We're praying for that. She's doing well. But she made sure they got her all of the stuff and folders for all the Christmas basket stuff. And she's got her in her bed over there at the hospital, and she's got all her stuff there. So she can make phone calls and get stuff ordered and doing all that kind of stuff. And I thought, what does that make somebody want to do something like that? Amen. Well, we can have an excuse to say, well, I got to get it done. It's got to be done. And I don't want it to pile up when I get back. No. That's not why she's doing that in the hospital bed. She's doing it because there's joy in serving God. That's why she's doing it. The things we do for the Lord, they bring us joy when we serve God. And I've thought a little bit about this too, and I'm gonna veer off for just a second, okay? I'm going to veer off on something else. We'll get back to this. But I've thought, what's one of the greatest things that brings us joy as Christians? Serving, isn't it? It's serving God. When you do something for God and you're obedient to Him and you see how that manifests into something beautiful, you say, wow, that's pretty awesome, and God let me in on that. He let me be a part of that. When we get to heaven, some people, when we're experiencing that new heaven and new earth and when everything else has gone away, people think, well, all we're going to be doing is just walking around singing hymns. We're just going to be playing harps and, you know, we're going to circle the new city of Jerusalem, playing our harps and singing our songs, those kind of things. No. That's not how it's going to be. Why would God take away one of the greatest joys that we have here when we get into that new heaven and new earth? You know what we're going to be doing in that new heaven and new earth? We're going to be serving Him in a different capacity, but we're still going to be serving Him, and we're going to continue to be finding joy by serving God. If you feel as though serving God is a hardship or a difficulty, then my friend, you better check up, because there's joy to be had when we serve God. The next is our infirmities. Romans 5:3 says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. In our infirmities, in our difficulties and challenges, do we really find joy? Well, preacher, it's a hard thing to find joy when I'm hurting. It is for me too. I'm human. So it's not that we need to thank God for the pain we're feeling or the suffering we're going through, as much as knowing what's to be gained through the suffering. Like Jesus, He said, for the joy set before Him, He was able to endure the cross. If Jesus looked and saw that there is nobody that's going to ever get saved or believe in Him as Lord and Savior, then it would cause that crucifixion to have been a lot more painful than it was. He endured because of the joy of what was set before Him. We can endure and we can receive joy in hardships at knowing what is to be gained through it. Chris Ogle will have to define this for me. I don't know if it's accurate or not, brother, but it's a story I heard about a moth. Maybe you've heard it before. I don't know if this is a true scientifically or not, but I'm going to say it anyway because it fits and it really sounds good. Okay? Story I read was a guy had a little moth in a cocoon, you know, and trying to emerge from the cocoon. Maybe you've seen that happen before. As we as kids, we know we used to have those. And it's starting to emerge, and he saw that the moth was struggling. So he took and he snipped the top and the bottom of the cocoon so the moth could emerge without much difficulty. And when it did, it came out and it was all swollen. Kind of looks like me at times. It's all swollen. And its wings look kind of pitiful, you know, and the rest of the time that it lived, however long a moth lives, I don't know. I can't imagine it's very long. But it just kind of waddled around and was kind of miserable, and it wasn't able to fly. And later he found out, if this is true or not, I don't know, but I love this part, that because a moth is struggling within the cocoon to emerge from the cocoon, that the fluids and all those things build up within the body are then forced out into the wings to bring life to the wings. So that when the struggle's over and they finally emerge, the moth is able to fly. I thought, well, that's fitting here. It's not that we wish hardships and troubles to be in our life, but they can be of great benefit to us in the future. If I've endured something and I've trusted Christ through that and found joy in that, what will happen is God will give me opportunity to be a blessing to somebody else. the joy that I can bring to somebody else's life through enduring a situation is what will bring me joy. Find joy in troubles. Find joy in tribulations, in hardships, knowing what is to become of you once you get to the other side. Don't sit and focus on the problem you're in. Look at what God wants you to gain once you get to the other side of that hardship. Find joy in it. Next is the unknown. James 1, 2, and 3 says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience." It's those unknown things. He said when you fall into diverse temptations. So it's just kind of like you're walking down the road, and boop, you're just gone. You fell right into something. It's an unexpected thing. So we're going to have a life filled with unexpected events, right? We have a lot of those. I would hope that when you reach a certain age that the unexpected things would kind of quit. I thought at 55 they should have quit. That was a great year for them to quit. Because I was 55 last year. That was a great year for me to not have any more unexpected things to happen. But it doesn't work that way. We're always going to have unexpected things. They're going to be unexpected trials. They're going to be unexpected situations. They may affect us directly. They may affect somebody else. We may be involved. But there are always going to be things that we are not expecting to happen. It may be suffering. It may even be extended suffering in our life. I don't think Job was expecting to endure the hardships that he endured in life. Do you? I don't think he was expecting those things to come in life. And I think it's beautiful that James tells us, he even says, don't think it's a strange thing when you're tempted or when you're tried. This is going to happen to all of us, and it's going to be unexpected many times. Find joy in the unexpected things. And we're emotional creatures, right? We're emotional creatures. We can be affected by our emotions. We can go to the extreme of refusing to be joyful in a situation that's unexpected in our life. We can become downright angry and mad and resentful and cruel because we find ourselves in an unexpected situation. I got a call from the doctor, and he said the word cancer. That's unexpected. You don't want to hear that. How we react to those words, how we react to those situations determines where you're at with God. How you respond to the situations that you're in. Determine how close or far away you are from God. It doesn't affect the fact that if you're saved, you're saved and you're sealed to the day of redemption. But it will affect your relationship with God until you are redeemed completely. Until you see Him face to face. We have the opportunity now in the unexpected events of our life to be joyful. Again, joyful is not just laughter. It's not just dancing around like you won something or you got a prize. Joy is not necessary. It doesn't even have to be expressed outwardly and physically. Joy is an inner feeling that we have given by the Spirit of God. You know, I watch people, especially in church, and not just our church, I'm talking about all over, but I watch people and how they praise God. I think it's interesting to see how different people praise God. You'll have some that'll stand up, you know, and we're high-fiving God, you know. We're high-fiving God. Some of us are waving our hands. We're celebrating. You'll have some that would just sit on a pew and just bounce. You know, we demonstrate joy different ways, but we can all experience the same joy if we're connected and plugged into God. And this one I added because I thought it's important, fullness. We can joy in fullness. Deuteronomy 6:11 says this, "And houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, wells digged which thou diggest not." That's a great word, isn't it? Diggest. I diggest you. You diggest me? You got wells that you diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. So he's talking about all these great things and harvest that God has provided for you that you did nothing to make happen. So we need to have joy in the things that God has blessed us with. I got home. I got a truck I drive around. I've got a wonderful, amazing, beautiful wife, and I got two boys, and they're both married, and I've got a grandbaby girl, you know. I got food in the pantry, you know, when none of the kids are around visiting. Amen. I got ice cream in the freezer if I keep it tucked under the green peas and stuff that nobody sees. Life is good. Amen. I mean, I've got a lot of things that God has enriched my life with, material things, things of this world that God has blessed me with. I'm not to find joy necessarily in the items as much as the God that made it possible for me to enjoy these things. It's okay for us to find joy in things God provides for us, because remember, He is the one that provides them for us. So He's talking, He's telling us in Deuteronomy, you didn't dig us a well, but you got one. So thank God for the well. Thank God for the water. Don't praise the water or praise the well, but you praise the one that provided the water to nourish your body. And we can find joy in the fullness. What does the prayer of Jabez? Expand my coasts. He meant expand my life, expand my family, expand my horizon, expand what I have, expand those kind of things. And God did that. God is all about your life being enriched, not to the point that we cling on to the riches themselves as much as we're clinging on to the God that has provided. It's okay for you to find joy in the provision and the fullness of God. And this last one, you're saying, oh boy, I'm glad you got the last one. I was wondering how many you had. This is it. We can find joy in the future. You may not find joy today, but you can find joy in the future. Revelation 5:13 says, and every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto Him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. We can find joy in the hope at knowing. We may have to endure hardships in this life. We may have to face challenges in life. But regardless of what happens on this planet, God is always God. Jesus is still the Savior of the world. And the Holy Spirit indwells believers, encouraging them and giving them, providing them the ability to be joyful in every circumstance, in every situation. My question to you as we wrap this up is this: do you find joy in your life? Are you so overcome and overwhelmed by events of the world, by the events of the nation, by the events in your family, in your community, in your workplace? Are you so overcome by those things that you just can't find joy? Then something's wrong in your relationship with God, and it needs to be fixed today. We need to be joyful. But preacher, you just don't understand. It doesn't matter what I understand or what I don't understand. Joy is a gift that comes from the Holy Spirit. And if we're not feeling it today, we need to check up with God. Let's stand and have a word of prayer, then we'll get our invitation. Our Father, we come again to You to thank You for this beautiful word, joy. I'm thankful it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. I'm thankful, God, that it's part of the gift that You want to impart to us, God, that we have the opportunity, we have the ability to experience joy in every situation, in every circumstance. God, my prayer today is that any of us among us today that are listening are not feeling joy today. It's not just an emotion, God. It's deeper than that. If we're not able to experience joy, I pray today, God, You bring us to a point that we realize it's because of our relationship with You is not where it needs to be. Any that are unsaved, I pray today would be the day of salvation for them. I pray that today, God, You're glorified in every life. We love You, Jesus, and we thank You for this opportunity. Be in the midst of this invitation, and may You be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. Check out rcbc.us for worship times and ministry information. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Psalm 29:11. And from our church family, God bless you.